Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Okay, here we go. So Noah and the Ark. Noah and the Ark. You know, we just kind of treat that sometimes like it's a kid's story. I remember growing up, it was a different fellowship or denomination when I was a young kid and would go to Sunday school. Do you remember what that was? Yeah, okay, everybody, you know, over 40 remembers what Sunday school was. Oh, a couple 42 years old said, what? I don't know what, yeah. So Sunday school, and Mrs. Disselhurst was my Sunday school teacher. Mrs. Disselhurst, single lady. She was about 6'4". Not just because I was small. She literally was tall. And Mrs. Disselhurst, I don't know if she was Dutch or Norwegian, but you weren't going to mess with her. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I was a Lutheran kid, went to a Lutheran church, and it was interesting that she told me and told my mother inclinations of this kid of yours, Randy, you're, seriously, this is before I really came to Jesus and had a salvation experience. She said, he's going to be a minister. He's going to go to the ministry. Something's up with this kid. We knew something was up with me, but we didn't. You know, we just, yeah. So back then, it was, you know, cutting-edge technology was flannel board. Everybody over 55 knows what that is, right? Flannel board. You have these little flannel figures, and you put them on a piece of flannel, and they just stay there. Cutting-edge technology, Jesse. Yeah, you manage a whole bunch of regional Texas roadhouses. You need to bring flannel board in for your meetings. They're just going to blow them away. Where do you buy them? A Lutheran rummage sale. Okay, so we got. I kid. I'm not picking on the Lutherans. It's my part of my heritage, right? Oh, it was great. Okay. Yeah. We learned not to rearrange the flannel characters and animals on the flannel board when before she got to class. Oh, my word. So Noah's Ark, you know, it just kind of, we kind of look at it and read it, and even some theologians, they look at this and they just kind of negate the flood and the whole flood or the flood of the whole earth. And they go through. And you need to listen to some honest scientists who also have a God and biblical worldview and history. And they don't leave things out to suit what they want to believe and hope the Scripture says. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Listen to this. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man, say us. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was vast upon the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every intention of the thoughts of his heart were evil, only evil, continually. I'm so grateful for Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and God's Word, because it says this, that the Word of God has the ability to judge the thought and intents of the heart. His Word can judge that in us. In humanity, it says every intention and thought of the heart. His Word has a way to when we read it, when we hear it, when we begin to understand it, it begins to judge all of this corruption in us. That's why when we come to Christ, we see life change. It's not, I just believe in Jesus and now I go to church. I believe in Jesus and He's the living Word. And walking, have a relation with Him and reading the Word comes in and starts to convict us. Right? That we can't continue to live like we were before Him, but it's a brand new start, a brand new living. So listen to me, when God convicts you of something, don't go into the tank, don't go into a tailspin, don't get, you know, all depressed and all of this and I'm no good and I'll never learn. Whose voice is that? You listen to me, you be grateful for that. It's hard, but be grateful. He's bringing things out that He wants to remove and take out of our life. That's a great thing. Don't look at it from a human perspective of condemnation and all this guilt. When we sin, yeah, we sense guilt. We can condemn ourselves. We recognize sin, but we also recognize what a believer looks like who's following Christ. That's all good news. So let Him transform you. Let Him transform us. Take us through this process. Don't throw in the towel. Oh, I keep doing this. Oh, it was good for a while, and then I keep doing this. Well, welcome to the club. But don't throw in the towel. And you allow the Holy Spirit to continue. And you, with His help, become more obedient unto Christ. And be busy adding the new things that He has for you so that there's no room for the former.
Amen.
Jeremiah 17:9. You listen to this. The heart of man is wicked and deceitful above all things. Trust in the Lord, not your own heart. I just believe in my heart, and I just kind of feel. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're not. Don't let that be what leads us. It's the Lord in our life who transforms us, cleans our heart, makes things right, that we can walk and pursue Him and follow Him. Right? He transforms us. Oh, give me clean hands, oh Lord. Give me a pure heart. Clean hands. Pure heart. That's what we want. I'll give Him room to work, and some stuff's going to come out, right? It's going to come out. Why is it going to come out? Because it's in there. That's really deep, isn't it? Let Him keep walking with you. You keep walking with Him. Let Him bring forth something. So listen, God looks upon the earth, and evil is just rampant. You need to know, when He decides to call Noah to build the ark, because He is going to basically destroy almost all of creation. Ecclesiastes 12:14, God will, say will, God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, good and evil. Amen. Understand that sin has to be judged. Sin has to be judged. That's what makes salvation so great. Sin has to be judged. Sinfulness is not allowed in His presence. Jesus came and sinful things were done in His presence, but He came to undo the works of the devil. So Scripture says. There was a confrontation that humanity could see and that we get to read about when Jesus showed up. and the light overcame the darkness. The Old Testament, Noah's Ark. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, all will appear before him and be judged. John chapter 5, and there's verses all over about judgment. We don't hear a lot about it because we live in a covenant of grace and mercy, but don't be fooled. There's a judgment that's to come. The good, it says in John 5, the good will have a resurrection unto life. Evil will have a resurrection unto judgment. And the consequences of eternal judgment because of sin that was never repented over, not just ask forgiveness, but a life change, moving in another direction to follow Christ. Listen, historically and prophetically, got that? Historically and prophetically, God's judgment has happened. And it will happen again. Historically and prophetically, that's how we know that there is still a judgment to come. Turn to a couple people next to you and just say, God's going to judge you. Now, those of you who said it to somebody, God does not need your input. This judgment on creation because of sin. Sin demanded it. Sin had to be judged. It was ruining humanity ever since Adam disobeyed God. And God carries out judgment. He saw what humanity became. And, you know, there was some warning for it. There was warning. There was a voice that went out. They had time to prepare. But I want you to know on the coming day, we read scripture, but I want you to know there is no warning. He will come like a thief in the night. But what does that tell you and I? We live ready. We continue with his help to maintain this right relationship. That we don't just barrel on through life, say we're a Christian, we don't really transform, we do a few nice things, oblivious to a judgment or oblivious to a rapture, because, you know, after all, he said he was coming soon, still hasn't happened. I'm telling you that there is a coming of the Lord, there is a rapture, and there is a judgment that we will face. Turn to a couple people around you and say, I just want to remind you, you will stand before God in judgment one day. Listen, this isn't about manipulation. Listen to me. This isn't about manipulation. This is about trying to make you fearful so that, you know, you can just, no, the pastor said judgment's. Listen, it's his word to us, and it's a kindness to him. He disciplines those he loves. He places judgments so that we can move into relationship with him and not be lost in the end. Even for those of us who sit in church. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come, listen, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil. How do you like your misdeeds being revealed? Right? So your whole idea of bringing it into the light, it gets revealed. But if we could just hide in darkness, and I don't have to be responsible, and I don't have to change, and I don't have to go through the hardship and of change, and I could just go on and kind of ignore what I've done and who I've been and the way I've done things, just keep it all in the darkness. I want you to know it won't stay in the darkness. The light has come, and it all will be revealed, including the secret things. That's why we can come to Him now and bring all of that into His light, that it can be seen, we can repent, we can ask forgiveness. The consequence of those things will not have an eternal effect on us because of the blood of Christ. He paid for it all. I want you to listen to this in Matthew 24. I'm going to read this to you. I want to read to you verse 36 to about verse 44. And this is Jesus talking. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Watch this. As it was in the days of Noah, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man. There will be a dividing. Those who found faith in Christ and became righteous in Him. Those who rejected it. And He's going to come like a thief in the night. There's not going to say, hey, you guys, you got 5 hours, 22 minutes, and 18 seconds to get your house in order. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, now listen to what they were doing. Before the flood, all right, they were eating. They were drinking. They were doing like everyday stuff that you and I do. Okay? They were marrying. I saw Mac this morning. He was standing with a group of guys. I said, so, you recommend it? He goes, you mean marriage? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, yeah. I turned to the rest of the guys and I said, he's been married 2 weeks, just consider that. They were marrying and being given to marriage. That's what they were doing. They were carrying on with everyday things. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in a field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake. Elbow the person next to stay awake. That may have a double meaning for some of you. Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let him break into his house. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You can study, you can prepare, you can think, I can figure this out. There are some pretty smart people that figured out the rapture was coming back in 1900 and whatever, and here we are. Surely if he would have came, at least one of us would have gone. Listen, he's coming again, and he means business. As in the days of Noah, God spoke to Noah, gained favor with Noah, and Noah took on this task. Do you know how long it took him to build the ark? Approximately 100 years. He started it when he was 500 years old. And the floods, the rain started, the flood started when he was about 600. The ark was 450 feet long. That's like, I don't know, close to 1.5 times a football field. That's how long it was. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. There were levels. Took him about 1 year. And you think doing a renovation on a house takes long. Next time she starts next time she starts, are you going to get that time? I've been without a kitchen for 5 days. And he just looked at her and say, hey, just be glad I'm not Noah. After 100 years, that'd be quite a kitchen. She won't live long enough to see it, but it became a really nice kitchen. It's interesting. It rained how long? 40 days. Somebody shouted out.
40 days.
All right. 40 days, 40 nights. That alone was not enough to flood the earth. You're like, oh no, heresy. You just went against the scripture. No. Listen, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But there were also on the floor of the ocean, you see, tsunamis came. Floor of the ocean, great, big, large pieces heaved and released water. That was part of this. There were great waves that rose. Walked across land. Earthquake, volcanic. These are all things that kind of, put together what you would call a tsunami. These extra long waves that are generated from the ocean floor that shift and releases water that's deep down, right? And the water level rise, and it keeps raining, 40 days, 40 nights, and it wasn't a sprinkle, it's heavy rain. It floods, I want you to hear this, it floods the whole earth. This isn't just part of the earth, it just wasn't where they were. Flooded the whole earth. Landslides, everything else, a shifting, all right, that went on. And water rose above what at that time would have been the highest peak. And then it took about 150 days that the water kind of sustained to its high point. And then it recedes, and it took time to recede and settle, and the earth was shifting. You know how long they were in the ark? About 1 year, probably a few days more. Roughly 1 year, 365 days, 370 days. It's a long time. Short in comparison to him being 600 years old. You know, when he built this ark, and you can read about it in Genesis, you can go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is there. Listen, in this ark being this size, God instructed him how to build it. And he said, put the door, say the door.
The door.
Not one of the doors, the door. Tell him to put it on the side of the ark, the door. Say it again, the door. One door. One door. One door by which Noah, his wife, three sons, and their daughters could be saved. And when they walked up, when it was done, and God instructed them, they went in. And do you know who closed the door? God closed the door. They're all mocking and making fun of Noah. And after all, they didn't even know what rain was. This is the first rain that's recorded in the scripture. Moisture and from the earth, it watered all the plants and the climate. Yeah, God had it all figured out. And then he introduced rain. Boy, did he introduce it. And humanity is wiped out. And one big, really big piece of land on the earth, the rest water, because of all the shifting and what happened, separated. We got continents. God destroyed it all. He created it. And man, we ruined it. We ruined it when Adam sinned. And as time went on, man just lived by the craving of his own desire, his own evil in his heart. God made a promise that he would never wipe out the earth again by a flood. He made a promise. He gave a token, I don't know, kind of like a wedding ring, a token of a commitment, a covenant. He gave a token. Do you know what it is? Yeah, see, that's what the rainbow is. That's what the rainbow means. Not the stuff that humanity has corrupted, that it stands for something else. The rainbow is a promise that he would never do this again. He built that ark with one door. John chapter 9, or John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus speaking says, I am the door. Anyone who enters by me will be saved. John 14, 6, you know this. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life, Jesus said. And no one, say no one,
no one,
goes to the Father in heaven except through me. One door, one door, one door. One door. We may coexist on this earth, but I'm telling you, there is one door to the Father in heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That is it. There's not many ways to God. I'm telling you, it is through Jesus Christ alone. That is what his word says. You look through history, you look through prophecy, prophecy fulfilled. It's all there. I want you to know that judgment still looms for us. But there is a grace and mercy and a blood that was shed for you and me. And all who believe upon Him as their Savior, as the Christ, as the Son of God, and follow Him, that their faith is put into action. We're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. A result of that faith is a transformed life, that we do good things, that He will judge, so that He can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why don't you stand, please, all over this room. I want you to say, accept. Not A-C-C-E-P-T. E-X-C-E-P-T. Pastor won the spelling bee. You read something. And do you ever see down below it, they have like maybe an asterisk and then some fine print? And they give you some exclusion, some exemption. Some exception. The wages of sin is death. Period. And then the asterisk. But the gift of God is eternal life for those who believe. This is not gloom and doom, me telling you what the Scripture says, that there is a judgment that waits for each of us. We just need to know that. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you follow Him, the fear of that, it goes away. Now, we work out our salvation with some fear and trembling because we know it's a very serious thing. You know, as we get older, we think about our mortality a little more. When I was 16, I was barreling through life, man. Any of you remember those days? Yeah, just barreling through life. You know what? Yeah, hated when I had to sleep. Other than I was exhausted, right? And then, of course, teenagers, you sleep a little longer sometimes. But, you know, it was just like, let's go. Just do it. And then you get to be my age and you think about mortality a little bit more. Of other people, of course. Not my own. I'm closer than I used to be. God being equal, that, you know. So you think about it a little more and then you mature a little and you sometimes you mellow a little bit about certain things and you start to think and you reflect because pretty much you can only just rock in a chair and look out the window and sip coffee and watch the younger generation out there playing basketball. You start to think, I'm going to have my chance at this. We're all going to have our chance at it. I just don't want it to come upon you as a surprise. It will be a surprise because we don't know when He's going to come. But I don't want it to be a surprise like, oh, wait, why didn't anyone tell me? He's told you out of kindness because He wants you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He wants you to be the bride of Christ. There's so much foreshadowing in Scripture and not taking things out of context, but the ark had one door to be saved. You and I have one door. It is through Jesus, the Christ alone. Do not falter, do not waver by all the other voices in this world. As in the days of Noah, We still need to live this life and do the things we're responsible for and have celebrations and plan things and do things and build things and tear things down and all the things that we do in life. But while we do that, we must abide in Him. Don't just barrel through this life without an eye on the Savior, to know that He is within eyesight, He is within reach, you are following Him. Please, as in the days of Noah, that's what we will see happen. People will just be doing their life, and He's going to come when you and I don't expect it. So we just need to live with an expectancy that He is going to come, even though I don't know when, and we live ready. We live ready. We live ready. You keep oil in the lamp. You don't know when the bridegroom is going to show up. Be faithful. Abide in Him while you are productive in this life. Be the living church of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.